I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 67, featuring Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham.
I don't even know which one to use now. Hi, trying hard to cone. Oh, this again. Yes, hi, hello.
How y'all doing?
Yeah, how's your butt? How's your butt go? Why did I stop using that one?
I don't know. I think you should bring it back because
I'm bringing it back.
You know, for these past few weeks, we don't know how people's butts have been.
No, and it's vitally important to the security of our podcast that we know the status of people's butts.
We need to know your current butt status.
Yes, and I have a chart actually. I have a little graph here on my whiteboard here at Sarcastic Voyage headquarters, charting the progress of people's butts. Must know. Vitally important.
Current butt status is down 2%.
Yes. So how's your butt? We are fine, by the way. Our butts are... Well, I can't speak for Matt's butt, despite the rumors that someone started. But mine's all right. We're doing another one of them kooky Q&A shows.
Crazy.
Answering your kooky questions.
With reasonable answers.
Possibly. And if you're not careful, you might learn something.
Da-da-da.
Don't take my word for it.
That works too.
Very well. Before, what you were going to...
LeVar Burton needs to teach us more.
Well, LeVar Burton is not Bill Cosby. Let's not be racist now. I mean, they're...
I know. I know who both of those people are, and they have both contributed to the education system in their own way.
I suppose that's true. Actually, I did not realize this when we were talking about it with Albert last week, but Bill Cosby apparently was pretty heavily involved with Sesame Street early on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did a little reading about, well, I mean, I looked at Wikipedia. I'm not going to say I went and wrote a thesis or anything, but apparently he was pretty heavily involved with a lot of the little cartoon shorts, a lot of the recurring things. I mean, he did picture pages sort of independently of that. I do remember that.
Oh, well, I mean, I knew that.
But I believe that little, the creepy anthropomorphic typewriter.
Oh, yeah.
No, that guy. I think that had something to do with Bill Cosby.
Really?
I may be mistaken, but we're talking about that era, if nothing else. And there were various little shorts, cartoon shorts like that, if not that one.
Huh.
That he had his hand in. And he was one of the sort of the pioneers of using television to teach kids things rather than, you know, just make them brainless. So... Mm-mm. Good for him. Of course, he's gone a little crazy in his later years.
Well, yes, but I mean, who among us can't say that?
Well, I haven't actually, despite the rumors to the contrary, haven't actually reached my later years yet. So,
yeah, give it time.
I mean, I'm a hip young person now. I drink my yogurt out of a tube and I play all the latest video games.
That at least is true.
Yeah. In fact, I finished Famous Mark, take a drink, his last episode of the Monkey Island. The stuff that I've been putting off for months for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
Great game. Really, really excited to have finished it.
Meaning that you beat a current game before I did, and that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Well, and now I'm jumping into the Grand Theft Horse, and you have a lead, you know, you have a head start on me there, but as we mentioned before, we'll be playing it simultaneously, which is strange.
That is weird.
And then, of course, the Transformers game. So, yeah, it's very strange. But
the Brave New World.
Speaking of Famous Mark, and I don't think you have to take an additional drink. I think this still counts as the initial drink mentioned.
Keep taking that first drink.
And keep fucking that chicken.
If you can do both simultaneously, please take a picture.
Absolutely. And tell us how your butt is while you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So Telltale Games, the company that my good great friend Mark Darren works for. Announced.
Continue taking that drink.
Announced this week that they're working on a couple of new licensed properties.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of
new awesome licensed properties.
Yeah, a couple of well-known movie franchises that they're turning into games, and they haven't specified yet. Like, I read the press release, and they didn't say if they were point and clicks or not. And I said, Mark, are these point and clicks? What's the deal? They were kind of vague. He's like, they're deliberately vague. I can't tell you. He won't, like, being his friend of 20 years does not entitle me to privilege and information of any kind. I'm just as clueless as everyone else.
Well, especially since you're now basically media.
Yeah. And as
no,
much as,
I won't tell anyone.
Well, there was that one time I accidentally told Twitter something that I didn't even realize I knew.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. But they have acquired licenses for Jurassic Park and Back to the Future.
Which is awesome.
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Let me just say, when Mark announced that he was working on the Strong Bad game, I was thrilled because, I mean, we love Homestar. That's one of my favorite things. Like, current. I don't even call it current anymore. They haven't done anything in like a year. But it's definitely one of the things that brings me joy in life. And I thought, well, there's no possible way he could top this.
And then
he did Monkey Island, which is probably my favorite video game ever. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's definitely the top.
Well, I mean, how could you possibly beat Monkey Island? I mean, there's no way.
Unless he somehow was involved in a game based on my absolute favorite movie of all time.
But what are the odds of that happening?
Yeah, and so, although technically I should say he is actually working on the Jurassic Park game, I believe, and not Back to the Future. Still, it's just, somehow this guy manages not only to continue making, you know, fantastic games, but to just somehow make me more and more jealous with each possible move. And wow.
Now, so, I can certainly see Back to the Future working as a point-and-click game.
I could, and again, we should emphasize they haven't said if it's going to be or not. We don't know.
Well, no, Telltale is, you know, they do point-and-click games.
They have a couple of other things in development, though. They have a pretty cool-looking puzzle game, and I would say this even if I didn't know anyone with the company. They have a pretty cool puzzle game in the works, which looks a lot like Professor Layton, but a little more, like, the story's a little more surreal. It's got a bit of a sort of a quirky, like, Twin Peaks feel to it.
Oh, cool.
Like a town full of strange people. And it looks great. And yes, you know, full disclosure, my friend is involved in that game. But apart from that, like, it looks like a really interesting game to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're trying to stretch out. They're trying to do things that aren't point and clicks. But that said, you're right. Back to the Future definitely.
I mean, like, as soon as I heard Telltale was working on Back to the Future game, it's just like, oh, well, they're doing a point and click.
That would be great if they did that.
And, I mean, I could totally see that working, too.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Day of the Tentacle.
True. And, you know, they do employ the mastermind behind Day of the Tentacle, Dave Grossman. So nothing else, there must be. Yeah, he's pretty deeply involved in a lot of their stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
I less understand how Jurassic Park might transfer to a point-and-click game, though.
Yeah, same here. Plus, I'm not a big Jurassic Park fan anyway. I mean,
now
this Adrian actually explained this to me. You guys who are, you know, 8 to 10 years younger than I, that's an age difference that makes a difference in this case, because when that movie came out, you guys were prime dinosaur age. You were like 8 or 10 and like all about the dinosaurs, whereas I was 20 and I was like, well, this is pretty but boring. But this whole generation of you guys who are now in your mid-20s are just all over that
show. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Jurassic Park came out at the sort of the perfect time for, you know, guys my age.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just like, holy shit, dinosaurs and a vaguely violent movie.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Spielberg, for whatever, you know, whatever good or bad you have to say about him. I mean, a lot of people like him, obviously. I'm not a huge fan, but, you know, he knows how to put together a movie. He's not like an incompetent film director. And so, you know, he threw together a nice little piece of popcorn there. I didn't find it that interesting. I was looking more for story at that point, whereas you guys were still at that age where dinosaurs tearing shit apart was enough.
Well, and like, what do you call it? Jurassic Park, the novel, was one of the first sort of adult books I ever read.
Yeah, and that was not bad. I mean,
was a great friggin' book.
Yeah. Stuff with all the chaos theory and all that was quite good.
Plus you got those pretty pictures between the parts.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. It was like an illustrated book.
Yeah.
But they're working on that, and I don't know, like I say, I don't know if they're making a point and click or not. If they are, I can't really see it. You know, look at dinosaur, run from dinosaur.
Get Velociraptor.
Right.
You can't get Velociraptor.
Get you Flask. So, yeah, and as we mentioned previously, this show's probably going to be a lot more about video games now, since Matt's been, you know, playing them all along, and I've been like, no, that's boring. But now
I don't want to talk about video games.
Yeah. Now that I'm on board, that's, you know, there'll probably be a lot more of that.
So tune in for the episode that Transformers comes out, where we both just go ee for an hour.
I'll just leave the microphone on while I'm playing.
Just in the background. Holy shit!
Yeah. That'll
be out, Starscream!
That'll be fun. One thing I've noticed, and I'm only just scratching the surface, I told myself I had to finish Monkey Island before I played anything else. And I don't want it to sound like a chore, because it was awesome. I'd been putting it off, because I have things to do, but...
The interminable Monkey Island.
Oh, God, it was such a chore to play. One of my favorite franchises written by one of my best friends. But, I said, you know what, I've been putting this off. I can't really play with the PlayStation until I finish this. I owe him that. But now that I've done that, I started scratching the surface with some of the games we got. And, I mean, I love it, and I'm kind of getting back into it. But I realized a huge element of these games is, for lack of a better word, dress-up ponies.
Yep.
Every time you finish a mission or, whatever, you get a hat or you get a something. And the huge element of it is designing your guy. This is new to me. I've been out of gaming long enough that this is strange.
See, it's one of my favorite aspects of video games, but I'm a big girl, so.
Well, that much is certain.
In fact, one of my biggest problems with Grand Theft Auto 4 is how little your dress-up options are.
See, this is me being old, but I come from, the era of Pac-Man is what Pac-Man is. You don't get to change him. Mario looks like Mario. Yep. And
yes, but imagine if you could change, Pac-Man's hat or his color.
But I don't care. I'm playing the game. I don't care what they look like.
See, this is like just a fundamental difference between us. I would love the idea to sort of be able to not only play Pac-Man, but make Pac-Man look however I want him to.
But again, you can't make him look however you want him to. You're still limited to the 10 hats that they offer.
Even then, you have 10 hats to choose from. Yeah. I want my Pac-Man to have a top hat because he's jaunty.
But then you would have to get the monocle, and then you would have to get the cigarette holder. And
all you're doing is giving me more and more reasons to want this. Because now I'm playing Penguin Pac-Man.
Waka, waka, waka. Man, set him up and knock him down.
Don't catch me, Crusader. Waka, waka.
Oh boy, but yeah, it's strange. It's because I'm playing the Grand Theft Horse, the Red Dead Reservoir Dogs or whatever the hell it is, and I'm realizing one aspect of it as well. You got a new poncho, so. And I think you mentioned this last time we talked about it. You love dressing him up like Clint Eastwood.
As soon as he got the poncho, I'm like, awesome.
I'm just like, this is what my guy looks like. Here's my horse. Time to go shoot some stuff. Nope. Gotta dress him up. Gotta dye his hair and paint his nails. And very strange. But this is the task ahead of me, to play these games, to work my way through the big pile of stuff we got. And it's a good time for me, I gotta say. Obviously, we just got married. That was great. We're finally finished with all that.
that was fine. But the important thing is I have video games.
Well, we mentioned this weeks ago. I don't want to go on and on about that. I want to go on and on about video games. I just don't want to be one of those, hey, look at me. Look how great everything is. Fuck that. But things are going pretty well. I got some good news as far as employment goes. I'm no longer temping. I'm actually working a real job now.
Which is awesome.
With grown-up benefits and retirement and all that, I don't know, home loan, escrow, I don't know. And so it really, everything's coming up Milhouse. It's quite nice. So it would appear that this is now the summer of Al. That I'm just going to be sitting around playing video games and, not worrying about crossing the border and,
the streams.
Right, exactly. It'll be just like that Seinfeld episode, which ended well, right? When he just proclaimed the summer of George.
Oh, yeah, that went perfectly for him.
Everything went just fine. That's how it's going to be. So.
Yep, that guy never had another problem again.
Nope. George Costanza, model of...
the happiest man on earth.
Right. All right, I think we've wasted about enough time setting things up. Let's dive into these questions.
Because we're doing questions.
Oh, right. Yes, we are. Our first question, dear Sarcastic Voyage, how are you? I'm fine. My question is, why are you doing another Q&A show? Yours in Flonk, Jesus Christ.
Dear Flonk.
No.
You really want to ask?
No, that's Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Actually, it was written in by Dave, our voice guy. But I didn't want to set that up front. I wanted to make you think we got it from Jesus Christ, but you...
Well, I just heard Flonk and assumed Why on earth I would think that Flonk had sent us an email, I can't imagine.
He's doing the old switcheroo there. Instead of yours in Christ, Flonk, he's saying yours in Flonk, Christ. You see.
He's crafty, that Jesus.
Yeah, and he's just my type. No, I think what Dave is asking is why the hell are we doing yet another Q&A show, not realizing that we only did one 5 episodes ago. And I think that's kind of what we've committed to, is every 5 or so, which seems like a lot, but that's less than one a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys seem to like these, so, you know.
Yeah, so, like, we'll keep doing them.
Yeah, I mean, we could do this every week. In fact, this is something we talked about before the show. This is tough for me. This is a hard thing to admit here, but I don't feel like we're as funny as we could be. I think it's mostly Matt's fault, but
of course
I'd never tell him that. No, I'm talking to the audience, Matt. You don't have to.
Oh, listen. I'm sorry. Do you want me to stick my fingers in my ears and hum loudly?
No. That's fine. Honestly, for reals, I feel like, first of all, I should never say for reals. I don't know where that even came from.
Yeah, never do that again.
No, never put salt in your eye.
Kill Danny.
And I feel like we've not given the audience the full potential that we are capable of. I feel like the last few shows have been, we've had a lot going on. We've had, you know, some distractions or whatever.
We're busy. We don't always have time for this.
Well, there's video games is the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like
I have a new hat.
Really? Oh, well, yeah, you got that top hat.
Yeah.
So good for you. Mm-hmm. No, I feel like we kind of got to get back to fundamentals a bit. We kind of got to work on our, I'm running out of sports metaphors fast here, but we got to work on our
home base, ball kick,
fundamentals, you know, the basics, what I'm saying is we're not going to have guests for a little while. We're going to spend some time, you know, some quality time together.
Really, really figuring out what we are.
Yeah. We're going to have some us time, which is maybe the gayest thing we've ever said.
Just when we think we can't get any gayer.
That duet where we pretended to be somebody's ex-girlfriends? Nope, this is more.
Mm-hmm. I was sure that was going to be it, but...
No.
No,
we're going to stay in and nest for a while.
We're going to go on a couple's retreat.
Yep. So the next... I mean, we're not committing to this forever. It's going to be the next few episodes. I don't know, the next 5 or so, maybe 10, 30. I don't know. I have a plan, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
No, he has it written down on one of his charts.
Yes. It's out in the cloud, actually, which is maybe the gayest thing of all. I keep trying to say it's out on Google Docs, and Amanda says, "You mean out on the cloud?" Yes, cloud computing.
Yes, dear, I'm doing it, dear.
So yeah, she's really working on her horrible wife points. We we bought her a nice rolling pin for her to threaten me with.
Have you hung up that moose yet?
She's screaming at me to take her to Bed Bath and Beyond.
It's all why are you nice reading stuff all the time?
So that's why we do a Q&A show, because it's all we know.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we're good at. It's pretty
much
all
kind
we're
of what
at
we excel at.
Yeah.
We hope.
All right.
Next, we're going to get an email. Dear Sarcastic Woods, you guys really aren't very good at question answering.
No, but we like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter if we're any good at it. If you're still listening, you obviously don't care if we're good.
Mm-hmm.
So
you would have stopped listening by the end of episode 2.
Yeah, 2. Next question comes from Deke Winsome, and he writes, "Dear people, thanks for reading my questions. I do apologize for grammatical problems questions did had that you are read during the show for me."
He trying so hard to cone.
"Work shall me continue, for do not that in the non-past. Anyway, it was fun to be on a banner episode. The wedding of Matt and Al. The girls with glasses. Some other girl with glasses living with Al. Here's this week's question for you. What wacky and wild guest who has done the worst job whilst on the podcast?" I'm not entirely sure what that question means exactly.
No.
I think he's trying to ask who our least favorite guest was.
Which we're certainly not going to answer, because that's not cool.
We could say Flonk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll work.
That's an easy answer.
Our disdain for Flonk is well known.
Even though we've probably had him on the show more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Flonk's, what was the wording here? What are you ams to look to be a wary old?
Flonk for being not good.
Dear Viklas.
Having hard to walk.
Right. Hang on, I want to get this precisely so we can give it the answer it deserves. Not the answer he needs, but the answer he deserves. So the wacky and wild guest who has done the worst job whilst on the podcast, probably Flonk.
Yes.
Possibly Brewtown, because
he did such a bad job on the cast that he often failed to appear on it.
That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Jack. Wow.
Klugman.
Yeah. Jack Klugman. Thank you. You saved me. It's like, that's going nowhere. Oh, Klugman, of course. Now it's a bit.
Klugman.
McLeod.
Jeez.
Next question. Do we answer that one effectively?
Flonk. Let's see.
I think it's a pretty predictable answer. I did say Brewtown. We kind of glossed past that, but I want to call special attention to the fact that we said Brewtown would never be on the show, and we had him on. I think we should just ignore that from this point forward. He was never on. It's like a historical reimagining.
Mm. He's been retconned out of the show.
Right. We've always been at war with Eurasia, and Brewtown's never been on the show.
Right.
Any others? Any?
No, I'm going with Flonk. No matter how bad any other guest could have been, they at least were able to appear on the show.
True. Now, that said, worst guest, but Flonk is our BFF.
Yes.
As you will see, I'm actually going with that cover art for this particular episode.
Ah.
Have you seen that, Matt? The delightful drawing that Flonk did for us that we're all BFF?
No, I think I missed that one.
He inserted himself into the Gay Justice League.
Oh. I'm pretty sure you need to be... I'm pretty sure you have to do tryouts to do that.
No, he's just decided he was Gay Flash.
Fine.
So he's got a picture of, you know, you and your Green Lantern, me and my Batman, and him and his Flash. And it says BFF. And, of course, if you've downloaded this episode, you will have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically my way of recycling something we've been sitting on for months. And, and not having to worry about cover art right now. So, noted BFF Flonk and worst guest ever. Is that all we had to say about that?
Yes.
Okay. Next question comes from Ben, speaking of BFFs. And he writes, here's a question for your little podcast. Why do you like Albert more than me? I don't know. I think you like Albert quite a lot.
His name is longer.
Really? Is that why? Is that do we like?
That's my that's my personal reason. I don't know why it's what yours is.
Very well. Because he hasn't worked with bees. I don't know. I don't actually know much about Ben. We've talked about this before. Ben's kind of a mystery man. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Albert, you know, is not afraid to share.
Come down from your crystal fortress, Ben, and maybe we'll have you on the show.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'd love to have him on the show. There's no question about that. But I think he's talking specifically about how much we praised Albert. During his appearance, and the reason is because he's open and honest and fun, and
whereas you are a mystery wrapped in an enigma.
Yes, wrapped in bees. Covered in bees.
Covered in bees!
Next question comes from Blandy. And
all right.
He writes, Dear Al, Matt, and Amanda. Well, she's in the next room hanging up a moose head, but I'll yell at her. I'm not going to be doing that. Come on. This is my sanctuary now. Come on. I got to go with all this horrible wife crap. I got to stick to it. we mustn't let out the secret that I love my wife. Come on.
I just think it's funny to picture her in hair curlers and like a bathrobe.
Yeah, and brandishing a rolling pin. Right.
And wearing like green face cream.
Actually, she does that from time to time.
Ha!
Some kind of exfoliating something or other. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now that Al and Amanda are married and she's moved to a real country, take that, Canada.
Fuck you.
Will she be more of a regular part of the show? Or while the co-host still consists of a boys only club, much like the USA pre-women's suffrage. Oh, will is what he meant. But he said while. Like someone from a real country. Yours in Zod, Blandy. So what he's asking is, will we now have more girls because I have a girl living with me?
Basically, I need to be on my toes now because I'm replaceable.
I think what he's asking is, are we going to Yoko up the cast?
Oh, no.
No. We're fine. Yoko, you know,
having a
girl on the fringes.
Having a girl on the show might make us look less gay, and we clearly can't have that.
Well, there is that. But, I mean, we've had plenty of women on the show, and... I think at one point I was lured into an argument I didn't want to have, but somebody said we mostly had men on the show, and I looked at our guest list, and it's about 50-50. Like, we've had a couple more guys than chicks, but we've had a lot of chicks on.
Mm-hmm.
And we did do the Valentine show that was all chicks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we trying hard to cone.
Yep.
But no, Amanda.
But we always trying harder.
Yes, we could always try harder to cone.
Every day in every way, we're trying harder to cone.
But yeah, I mean, she'll be on from time to time. It's I think she's good on the show, and we had her on before. We'll have her on again, and she lives here. And if we need somebody I know is not going to suck, I'll just call her in here. But no, she's not going to
co-host. Amanda will return in Thunderball.
Next question comes from Ted Bigsby, and he writes, "Dear Algar, Mrs. Algar by proxy, is the assumption here now that she's just part of the show? Because I've seen a few like this."
Yeah, that's not sort of going to happen.
No. Like I say, she'll be on sometimes, but not all times.
If she's on all the time, you'll get used to her like you got used to us.
Yeah, that won't be any good. Matt and possible guest. "I run into problems with the fact that I do work in a hospital, but I'm still very much a nerd. Such examples include the using the intercoms on the CT machines to quote Star Trek, or having my Transformers ringtone go off in surgery. How does one find the balance between professionalism and nerddom? I'm not ashamed, but I still enjoy being me. Sorry, Matt, this question doesn't really obtain to you." Oh, very well. Obtain to you.
As you work in
a type of nerd field. Long live the podletariat, Ted. I think you've been pertain, not obtain. And I hate to be Mr. Grammar Guy. Actually, no, I love being Mr. Grammar Guy.
That's why you had that hat made.
Yeah. Well, it's a top hat. And, I went through a lot of missions to earn that. So. Mm-hmm. I think what he's saying is, since you're already sort of in a nerdy place, it doesn't apply to you. But I think that's a faulty assumption just because you sell books.
I just have to work harder at it.
Yeah. Whereas I work in data entry and I sit in a tiny silent cubicle, and it's really not an option to me. I mean, yes, I'm surrounded by nerds technically, but I don't want to talk to them.
Well, no.
So, I don't know. I think working in a hospital would be difficult not to. I mean, you got so many great doctors to emulate, so many great, you know.
I think it would be impossible to not shoot the intercom and then say boring conversation anyway.
Or like, wait, what was that from?
Boring conversation anyway, really?
Oh, right. Never mind. You threw me there for a minute. Of course. No, because I was thinking along the lines of doctors. I was thinking along the lines of, you know, McCoy and Bashir. And
just going up to everyone as you were.
Yeah, exactly. And Dr. Giggles. Pulled something a little more obscure out there.
Which one's Dr. Giggles?
Dark Horse made a movie called Dr. Giggles, and that's all I knew. I was hoping you would pick it up and
got
run with
me.
It there. But, you know, because it was sort of comic booky related. But no, nothing.
Now, there's endless nerd fun you can have in a hospital.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, you can make endless Scrubs references, but
yeah, that's a good one.
You know, then you would have to have that hair.
Mm-hmm.
Something about that hair. I don't know. I really got nothing. I mean, you know, you shouldn't shy away from your nerd side. You should
embrace that shit, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not even that weird anymore. I mean,
get a ringtone with the Doogie Howser theme.
Get a safe.
Do you have a safe? Get a safe.
Right. Refer to all the doctors as doc.
Yeah.
There's tons of stuff you can do. There's all kinds of fun you can have with on pennies a day.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you'd like to learn more, send $5.95 to us and we'll send you a motivational booklet.
Ooh, that's a great idea. We're not going to actually send a booklet, but the $5.95 I like.
Yeah, send us $5.95.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Next question comes from Shauna Zioko, the superior Zioko.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Mr. W and Mr. R, in the original Clash of the Titans, there was this crazy mechanical owl, Bubo, she asks, and yes, it is Bubo.
Busta Bubo.
From Athena that followed everyone around, because that was comic relief in those times, apparently. I would figure it was Perseus's bad hair and short skirt. If you could have a mechanical animal familiar, what would you have?
Ooh.
There's a second question, but we'll get to this one first. Bubo, I feel like, was, what was that movie, like 79, 80, somewhere around
there? Yeah,
obviously a R2-D2. Like, somehow they managed to make R2-D2 in a movie about ancient Greek heroes and gods. Like, I don't know how they managed to do it, but they did.
That actually had a cameo in the remake in the horrible Clash of the Titans remake.
I just don't get what the hype about that movie was.
Seen it, I agree with you.
I mean, everyone went on and on about Release the Kraken. Like, there was this great line, and I watched it, and it's like, Release the Kraken, whatever.
I've seen better Krakens.
I'm not even talking about the Kraken. I'm talking about the line. Like, everyone treated the line like it was this big epic delivery, like this major, you release the Kraken. No. Eh. Hey, if you got time, if you think about it, if you maybe get around to releasing the Kraken, that'd be great.
Listen, if the Kraken were cooler, I would be much more enthusiastic about releasing it.
But... Well, yeah, and Amanda wrote a review about it and said something to the effect of she's seen scarier Krakens in her bathtub.
Yep.
Bathtub Kraken or some such. I don't know. Who knows what the hell that woman talks about.
Goddamn Kraken infestation.
Keep your head down. This is Kraken country. but a mechanical animal familiar. That's tough. That's tough on the ear, you see.
Crumb crisp quoting.
It's not as it's not as conversationally written. But that is a good question. It's a good good concept. And I don't know. I'd like to think if my little dog Checkers leaves this mortal coil that we could make a clockwork version of her.
Checkatron?
A clockwork Checkers. That would be all right. Because, you know, I'm a simple guy. I like my, you know, I'm a dude. I like my dog. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's nothing to it. But I imagine.
Just like in a country western song.
Much like.
You got my dog and my truck.
Right. How about you? I mean, you probably got some weird tentacly something or other.
No, because, you know, your tentacle monster doesn't go well to your mechanical monster.
I don't know, man. I mean, Dr. Octopus pulled it off.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that would be pretty sweet.
And in the original Transformers movie, the animated one, there was a robot squid that looked quite nice, actually. I mean, I think that lends itself well to mechanics.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, sort of like a version of his arms without him in it.
Yeah.
With like a box or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
Would it just scurry along on its little legs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you wouldn't have to be in the water. It could walk around and follow you.
Well, and it wouldn't even be following me. It would, like, hide in the corners.
Ah.
And wait.
Very well. What would it be waiting for, exactly?
Well, that's the thing.
Ah.
Waiting, judging.
Wanting, needing.
Watching.
For you to justify my love. All right.
Trying so hard to comb.
Second question. Did you ever watch Disney's The Black Cauldron? Why does it never get any respect? I mean, really. You never see them as costume characters at theme parks. They aren't in Kingdom Hearts. I've yet to see a special edition DVD, and the princess is not with the Disney princesses. What is up with that?
I have never seen them.
Really?
No, I've never seen The Black Cauldron.
Huh. I have, but I was really, really little when it came out, and I remember very little about it. Let's look it up on our old friend Bob McGrath here.
Animated?
It is animated. In that weird period after Walt died, before like the big resurgence with The Little Mermaid.
Oh, right.
Like you had like the Aristocats and like Oliver and Company, and like they were not bad movies, but they weren't like Disney classics.
I think it was incredibly poor taste to make an animated movie on one of the dirtiest jokes around.
I don't know, Aristocats.
Oh, well then I don't see why anyone went and saw it.
I loved that movie. And I'm looking at it now, and I am not remembering a thing. It came out in 1985. I thought it came out much earlier than that, actually.
I always confuse it with The Dark Crystal.
Very, very different. It's animated, and it looks like a Disney film. Like, it looks a lot like, say, The Sword and the Stone, for instance, design-wise. I do remember Sierra, the company that made King's Quest and Space Quest and so forth, made a Black Cauldron game. And it was, you know, it was standard for the time. Like, it was pretty innovational at the time, and it was not great now. But the big deal was they had Disney animators working side by side with Sierra. And it really doesn't look any different than like the first King's Quest with the very blocky, you know.
Well, I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, but I found it amusing that, you know, Disney animator, really, I mean, for all the bad stuff you can say about Disney, is sort of at the pinnacle of, you know, like in the animation world. If you're a feature animator for Disney, you're kind of at the top of the pyramid there. And looking at what they did, which doesn't look any different than anything else Sierra did, it's just like, really? You got the best in the biz, and that's all you had, huh?
They're just like, shut up. That's your argument, huh?
Yeah, apparently so.
Shut up.
This is what I thought. First Disney animated feature to employ computer-generated imagery.
Really?
And we're talking 1985, so I mean, they probably did some pretty simplistic stuff.
But, I always thought that was Tron for some reason.
No, the first animated feature.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which was kind of, I mean, it's definitely an important distinction to make, because mixing CG with live action is very different than mixing CG with cartoon. Like that's a, mm-hmm. that's a whole other thing.
Oh there. Yeah.
And this is also, I do remember this, the first film from the first animated film from Disney to get a PG rating.
Really?
Because it was a little more violent. Like not, you know, still PG, like not,
oh yeah,
not filthy or anything, but it was a bit more violent than your standard.
It was the first porn. it was the first animated porn.
Well, Disney was on hard times, and the, you know, what's his name? The Fritz the Cat guy.
Our Crumb?
No, the other guy. Fuck, what's his name? I'm gonna stall. I need to find out.
Go faster.
Some good stalling, Lou. Okay, yeah, he did create that. He did. You were right. It is Crumb, but
yeah.
But Ralph Bakshi did the actual animation. That's who.
I was thinking. I see. Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking of the animation, not the strip.
Ah.
And Bakshi did a lot of like dirty stuff. That was the same period, like late, you know, late 70s, early 80s, like where he was making like filthy cartoons. And I could see Disney saying, well, we need to breathe new life into this studio. What's he up to?
So. Ghost of Walt Disney spinning in his grave. Spinning in his freezer, I should say.
Yeah, come on. Keep your facts straight, won't you? Mm. So yeah. Was Bakshi involved with the with Cool World? Adrian,
you know what? I think he might have been.
Adrian brought this up some time ago on Twitter, and I'd forgotten all about. Yes, he directed it.
Mm-hmm.
Fake Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
He reminded me that Gabriel Byrne was in it, which I'd completely forgotten. And then looking it up, I realized that Brad Pitt was in it.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah. I've never seen it. I'm not sure that I want to see it. But,
no.
You know, fake dirty Roger Rabbit, I don't know, man.
I think I'd rather just go watch Roger Rabbit.
That's a damn fine film.
It is.
And speaking of films that don't get enough love, I mean, that's mm-hmm. for some reason, everyone you talk to loves that movie, adores it. But it really doesn't get the attention as the great, you know, you talk about the great movies of like the late 80s, like the big effects movies. And you always talk about like Back to the Future and mm-hmm. the indie films and like, you know, even like the first Batman. But no, everyone forgets Roger Rabbit. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the look of it is so cool. Like the cartoons in the real world, the real mm-hmm. people in the cartoon world. It's so cool.
And it was right on the cusp before everything started being CG. Like you wouldn't mm-hmm. get that now. It would look okay, but it wouldn't have that classic hand drawn animation look to it.
No, and I mean they did. They had this great thing where the characters were 2D and they still sort of worked in a 3D world.
Yeah, and it was right before Mel Blanc died, so you still had the real voices for a lot mm-hmm. of those characters. I mean, it was fantastic and one of a kind, like one time thing. And everyone just forgets it for some reason.
And how cool was it having the Warner Brothers cartoon characters and the Disney characters in one thing?
Oh, no doubt. And of course, that illustrates something we talked about previously, which is that Mickey Mouse has absolutely no character to him whatsoever. Nope. Because you had Bugs and Mickey, and Bugs is clearly the brains there, and Mickey's just like, yep, uh-huh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy.
Whereas,
oh, whatever you say.
Whereas when you had Donald and Daffy together, that was fucking brilliant.
Oh, fuck, that was comedic gold.
Yeah, it was. And
fucking two nut jobs.
Just like pissing each other off and trying to outdo each other. Oh man, that was awesome.
It's like, can we have more of this, please? No, yes. Never again. Nope. I'm gonna go make Space Jam.
Oh, wait, that wasn't Zemeckis. That was
I meant Daffy Duck.
Oh, damn it, Daffy, do a good movie. I should speak up on behalf of this is not a great movie, and I won't defend it as a fantastic movie or anything. But Looney Tunes back in action.
Oh, yeah, you've talked about this before, and it
was not a bad film.
Yeah.
It was not, like, again, not great, but as far as live-action interacting with cartoons, as far as being respectful to the old Looney Tunes, it was not bad, and there were some fun jokes in it, and I'm surprised. I mean, Joe Dante did it, which is probably the best testament to, you know, giving it a chance, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy made Gremlins and a million other good things that are completely escaping my mind now. And you know, he knows him some comedy, and it wasn't bad. Again, wasn't great, but it wasn't Roger Rabbit by any means, but it was way better than Space Jam.
As far as your Looney Tunes interacting with real people movies go, it's probably the best you're gonna get.
Yeah, I would say that's true. So yeah, as far as the Black Cauldron goes, I don't know. I mean, I probably should give it a look, because mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in 20 years and I don't remember a thing about it.
No.
So.
And I have never seen it.
So we'll have to give that a look.
Yeah.
Next question comes also from Ted Bigsby, and he writes, Podcastaways. If you could have any sort of obscure superpower that wasn't all that useful for fighting crime, what would it be? Personally, I'd like to be able to sense when toast was about to be ready before it popped up. Just so I could be annoying and say, your toast is done, and then it pops up. Ted. I should mention, I've probably mentioned this before, but I'd like to mention it again. I think Ted is a delight. I really, adding Ted Bigsby here to our little circle of goofballs has really pleased me. He's funny on Twitter. He sends good questions. He's a good guy. I'm a good man. I'm a mark for Ted.
I'm thorough.
I'm a shill for Ted. I'm selling Ted. That's what I'm doing. Obscure superpowers. I don't know. I mean, you got your. Yeah, unfortunately, this is sort of ground that a lot of people have covered. I mean, you know, what's the deal with Aquaman?
What's the deal with Aquaman?
Well, I tell you what. What's the deal? How did Jerry Seinfeld turn into Hank Hill?
I'll tell you. Always wanted to be able to communicate with the sea life.
What the hell?
Sell a starfish propane.
Yeah, the last time Hank Hill did that, it ended tragically. I don't think we want to take that. Raped by a dolphin.
Oh!
That actually did happen, by the way. If you're not familiar with King of the Hill, it's a fine episode when Hank gets raped by a dolphin.
That dolphin got intimate with me.
He had to go to therapy to get in touch with his dolphin feelings or some crap. I don't know. Obscure superpower. I mean, you're obviously more versed in this than I am.
Well, I think about this a lot because...
Of course you do.
Well, yes. I always... My problem with the X-Men has always been, like, you basically have, like, a race of people who, when they reach puberty, get a power, right? That power almost always is used to fight other people with powers.
Now, I think it was Grant Morrison, didn't he kind of... run in the direction of maybe not all the powers they're born with are good. Like
that was
some
one
people
of the...
are born with like acid for blood and it kills them instantly or something like that.
There was a guy with like three faces and that was it.
Three face.
Yep.
Very nice.
I don't know about beneficial, but I always thought the worst superpower you could get that was useless was the power to be perpetually wet.
Wasn't that a Tick hero? Was that like Moist Boy or something? That it seems like
God, it might have been. Seems like I remember being pissed off because they used a character like that in Dr. Horrible.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah,
and like I thought of it in high school.
Wow.
Yeah,
maybe it's one of those like Joseph Campbell, like archetypal ideas. Like
really,
humanity's always needed a perpetually wet person. Maybe it speaks to our tribal storytelling. I don't know. Power of myth.
Well, power of myth. My kids thought.
I think we've both talked about this on the show before that we were in agreement that Daredevil has one of the useless powers, which is he's a blind guy whose power is that he can see.
Exactly.
That's fairly useless. I, you know, as not well versed as I am in comics, for some reason I decided it would be a great idea when I was a kid to read all the Who's Who and Official Handbook of the Marvel Universe.
Sure.
So for a while, I was really familiar with characters I'd never read in any stories.
Oh, yeah. I was the same way. I had tons and tons of Marvel trading cards. So there was hundreds of characters I had never read and had no interest in that I knew everything about.
Yeah. And the one phrase that kept repeating in all of them, like as they would list their abilities, is Olympic level.
Mm-hmm.
They were always like an Olympic level athlete, an Olympic level gymnast. And mm-hmm. I always thought it would be great to be an Olympic level something that they don't do in the Olympics.
An Olympic level whittler.
Right. Like if they gave medals at the Olympics for whittling, you would get the gold. But yep. So what? I like that's the standard. Like because you played a stupid sport, that's your yardstick. That's your metric for.
Well, this guy is an excellent running guy.
No, he's an Olympic level runner.
He runs as good as any Olympic man.
Right.
Or woman.
So I would like to be an Olympic level beard grower.
An Olympic level sandwich crafter.
Yes. Ooh, that would be excellent. You'd be like Arthur Dent was in Mostly Harmless, where he was the wise man of the tribe who made the sandwiches.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to be an Olympic level sandwich maker.
I'm going to stick with the beard growing because I like my beard.
Really? Because you already grow a beard at a fairly professional level.
Well, yeah. I mean, I shaved it off for the wedding 2 weeks ago, and now it's completely back.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm not Olympic level. That's the thing. I mean, you know, in the Olympics, it's a whole other level there. I mean, come on.
Well, you're growing it faster than anyone else.
It's not
different
just fast.
Styles.
Yeah, it's not just fast. It's grooming. It's, I mean, it's judged in all kinds of categories. It's styles. It's God, it's like thickness or viscosity, I guess.
I think today I'll grow a blonde beard.
Right, exactly. Oh yeah, that's a big one. You know, if I could grow like a black beard with my red hair and pale skin, that would freak people the fuck out.
Oh.
Yeah. Think of how disturbing that would be.
Noodle that one for a while.
How useless that would be at fighting crime. Stop her, I'll grow a black beard.
No!
Or I could grow a beard of bees.
Cronos are a superstitious and cowardly lot, so I will grow a beard.
I will become a beard. No, of course Amanda is the beard in this relationship, but I'm okay, next question comes from Todd. I haven't heard from Todd in a while. Good to hear from him. And he writes, Dear Al and Matt, firstly, how are you both? Matt, what did Al have to eat today?
I don't know. Al, what did you have to eat today?
I know, because he's trying to find out how much we know about each other, I think.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what Al ate today.
I don't actually either. Some kind of spinach dip, and I probably dipped something in it.
Did you eat today?
Yes.
Okay, you're one ahead of me then.
Al, what is Matt's favorite color? I'm going to say one of those indescribable, ineffable colors of madness out of Lovecraft.
You're not far off.
Or the color of magic, but that's spelled with a U. Actually, you spell color with a U anyway.
I do, so it works.
Yeah, fair enough. Or possibly.
But I spell magic with a K, so then it doesn't work again.
Oh, man. That's just gay.
I was so close.
But putting those aside, probably blue.
Mm.
I don't know. Is it?
It's actually black, but
that's
not technically a color. So, no.
Which of your guests have you most enjoyed interviewing? Another one of these where we got to pick favorites and unfavorites.
Yeah, we're sort of not going to do that. It's not cool to everyone else.
Yeah, you've had quite a cavalcade of characters come by your show. That is true.
A classic comedy cavalcade of characters.
Yes, that's tough. Keep up the wonderful work, gentlemen. Well, thank you.
A crumb crisp coating cavalcade of colorful characters.
I suppose he's not asking who our best guest is, but who we've most enjoyed interviewing, which is slightly different.
Because
I've really enjoyed interviewing Michael Charles Hill, but I think that was maybe not our funniest show, but I really enjoyed it because it was like, ooh, I get to interview the Starscream's Brigade guy, but so what? or possibly Mr. Smile.
That was not my favorite interview.
I can't imagine why.
Someday I'm going to be inside of you, Matt. Yeah.
Next question comes from Adrian, and he writes, Dear Robot and Gar, is that our, like, are we like, like cops, TV cops, Robot and Gar?
It's either that or morning DJs. You're listening to Robot and the Gar.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually.
On Z95.3, The Rock.
Do you guys actually call it Z93?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's actually a radio station up here, Z95.3.
Or down, I mean, we would have Z whatever, but, you know, we say it the right way. So.
Yeah.
I have some questions. Who do you think the Zodiac Killer is or was? After watching David Fincher's Zodiac, his best film, I've been surfing related websites, and it seems as people don't care about the facts of the case or even really know them, they just seem to throw out whoever they want. So I feel it's necessary for you two to do this as well.
Mm.
All right, first of all, who surfs websites, really? So are we still saying that? Are we out on the information superhighway?
Are you in 19? Are you writing us from 1997?
Yeah. Did you get on Prodigy to merge onto the information superhighway?
How's your GeoCities?
I don't care. Zodiac Killer. Wasn't that the guy in Dirty Harry?
Maybe. I don't know. I never saw Dirty Harry.
That was Garak from Deep Space Nine who played that killer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Andrew Robinson.
I'll have to see Dirty Harry.
Yeah, he was the serial killer in that movie. And he was like a few years younger, but he was still just as creepy. So that was cool. So I'm going to say Garak.
Okay. I think that when history looks back on the Zodiac Killer, I think all clues are going to point to the fact that it was, in fact, the Joker.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Very well. What are the clues? Like, give me some of the...
Well, all those people he killed with Smilex.
That would do it. Who would improve Joker products? You should probably avoid those.
Mm.
second question.
Love that Joker.
Do either of you play board games? I mean, I guess I could include pen and paper games, but those are for nerds. If so, what do you prefer? Right now, my friends and I are almost entirely focused on Battlestar Galactica, the board game, which is as nerdy as it sounds, is incredibly fun, and the only game I've ever gotten legitimately pissed at other people over. It's fantastic. Since I've not listened to SV in a while, I'll expect to hear your answers by the time the next Q&A show airs. Excelsior, Adrian. Don't like board games. I think we've talked about this, actually.
I do like board games.
Do you? I thought we had decided that, neither of us were really cared for the whole, like, Monopoly, like...
I don't like Monopoly. No, because it goes on forever.
Right.
I'm a big Clue fan.
Oh, right. But you like the movie. Do you really like the board game?
Yeah.
I find...
No, I was a big board game fan when I was a kid. I love the little fiddly bits.
Ah, very well. See, I never did. And I feel like my problem with board games is the same as my problem with role-playing games, which is they're probably a lot of fun with the right people. But every time I've played, it's been with someone who's so focused on all the tiny little rules that we spend an hour setting up, and then we spend another hour quibbling over some mathematical nonsense, and all the fun is just completely drained out of it. Like,
I really think you need to play this sort of thing with me.
Or somebody fun.
Well, yes.
No, I mean, that could be, you know, you and some other people might be a good time. Just you and I sitting in a room. I'm picturing with party hats on playing.
Like, playing Clue. Battleship.
Yeah, probably not a lot of fun. No, I see where you're going with that.
B38.
Miss. We should do like the Penny Arcade guys do that thing where they play D&D.
Yeah.
We should do a thing where we just play Battleship.
I think we should.
B6. Miss.
We could do that from here, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, the linchpin of the game is that you can't see the other guy's thing. So
yeah, exactly.
It might work better that way. Look forward to that. That's how we'll be filling our time without guests.
And I am actually going to be playing Arkham Horror with a bunch of my friends tonight, which is nice. A Lovecraft board game.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
It's just one of those things. Like, I've been to like a dinner party at someone's house, and it's like get together with people and have fun and talk over dinner, and then we do play the board game, and it's like, now it's time to set it all up. Okay, here's your piece. No, this goes over here. No, this piece goes.
This one goes here. That one goes here.
Right. It's not fun, but again, I'm probably playing with the wrong people. So, but something like Trivial Pursuit, I enjoy, but I really just like the questions. Like, why bother, you know, with the pie pieces, especially when you get to that stupid sports question that you can never answer.
I, like when we go to family gatherings, my cousins will always bring like, those video trivia games, you know, where you put the DVD in and it asks you questions and stuff. See, that's always fun because we do the movie one and I know every movie ever.
That is nice. See, I always
like even if I haven't seen it.
Oh yeah, you're aware enough of what's going on. Like I haven't watched many movies in the last 10 years or so, but I could probably still limp along through movie trivia.
Yep. Which is and then nice. You get to feel superior.
The answer is fresh popcorn.
Yep.
Stealing jokes from the best. Listen, brothers, chaps, if you're not going to be making Homestar cartoons anymore, we're just going to start taking your jokes, like just openly taking your jokes. I'm usually dead set against that, but if you're not using them, somebody's got to. That's how I feel.
You've had more than enough time to have this baby and indeed raise it to college.
So many babies.
Oh.
And if you want to put that kid through grad school, you're going to have to sell more shirts. And to do that, you're going to have to make more bits to put on shirts. So
you know what? Showing us a new menu screen, not a bit.
Nope. This was bound to come up inevitably, and I know none of the questions have anything to do with this, but god damn it.
I don't care. I'm fucking mad about it.
Yeah, me too. I want my free entertainment.
Yeah. You know, like, I was willing to give you guys time because, like, you know, free entertainment, and I'm fine with that. Take your time, have your kid. But you know what? You haven't updated since Christmas.
Yeah, that's not right. All right, next question comes from...
So angry.
Comes from, apparently you actually pronounce his name Tom. I still like saying Thom, but he actually corrected me, so Thom it is. And he writes, Dear Voyagers de Sarcastic, yes, hi, hello, how are you? I am fine. Note that I used two of your bits. Let's move on to the questions.
Yes, you're quite an accomplished bit user.
I will note that.
Write that down.
Write it in your copybooks. Question one. With the final episode of Lost having come and gone, does Matt care? Be it for good or ill, I'm a little curious. What's your favorite series, finally, and why? I assume he means finale.
No question. Angel.
Really?
Yep. I love that last episode so much.
I did not care for that one. I mean, I liked it okay. But I feel like that whole last season was rushed. Like they planned, and they said this, they planned to stretch those the plot points out over two seasons, and they had to suddenly, oops, we're leaving.
Oh, I agree. Like
the last handful of episodes just felt like everything happened way too quick. And
I agree, but I still think the last episode of that is awesome. Like it's a little cramped because they had to sort of introduce these guys right away.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they were fighting a thing that I'd never seen before, and I just didn't care that much. But as far as like emotional payoff and character arc, you know, conclusion and all that stuff, you're absolutely right. And one of the best last scenes.
Oh, ever. Fuck yeah.
And I mean, controversial among nerd communities. Like a lot of people, you either loved it or you hated it.
I fucking adore that last scene.
And for those who haven't seen it, really, I'm not going to spoil anything here. The series Angel, which was spun off from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, ends in a very ambiguous. They're about to have a big fight. That's all I'm going to say. I won't say who's lived to that point. I won't say who they're fighting. Like I'll leave it. If you haven't seen the show, that doesn't really ruin anything. But it ends with them preparing for a huge fight, and you don't know what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a charging off into the sunset thing, which I think works on a show where they were fighting evil the whole time.
Yep.
That's not a bad choice at all. I actually, speaking of that stuff, the Buffy finale was quite rewarding, I thought.
Yep.
And I didn't see the ending coming at all.
No.
They really... I'm very cognizant of the fact that that Mark Bosco is now making his way through these, and I don't want to spoil it for him specifically, but
yeah,
we try not to do that anyway.
But damn it, Bob, hurry up.
He's flying through them, I gotta say.
Oh, I know.
But
I watched him on Twitter. Yeah, watch another one.
Yep. But I think that was quite rewarding. Probably Deep Space Nine would be way up there.
Yeah, fuck. That's another good one.
I don't know. I mean, basically look at what my favorite TV series are, and they ended well. Mm-hmm. I do feel like a lot of well, actually, the next part of his question asks about your least favorite, so we'll get to that. Let's talk about the good ones first. Next Gen actually had a really, really good one.
Yep.
Actually, I think I like that one better than Deep Space Nine's coming to
think of it. Yeah, I gotta go with DS9 just because I love how it built, how it like it was the culmination of that series.
I think that show had a like. I mean, the overall series was way better, and the last season works as a finale, but the actual last episode, I think Next Gen works a little better for me.
All right, that's fair.
But I see what you're saying as like the last chapter of a book. Season 7 of that show was way better, but as the last, you know, couple of pages, I feel like they kind of rushed the mythical stuff. Like they wanted to close the war and they wanted to close the mythical stuff all at once, and it kind of.
I could see that.
Didn't quite have enough room to do them both comfortably, I thought. I was a bit disappointed in the Lost finale, and the more I think of it, the more I don't like it. And you haven't seen it yet, so I won't spoil that either. But I liked... Those of you who have seen it will know what I'm talking about. Those of you who haven't... Well, you've had to listen to the rest of us for so long. Just put up with it for a little longer. There were two distinct things, two distinct plot lines happening in that finale, and I was very pleased with the one that involved the island and was not very pleased with one that did not involve the island. I'll just say that. It reminded me of the Battlestar Galactica finale, which I also didn't care for. Whereas you adored that show from start to finish, so...
Yep.
I felt like the mysticism in that was very sort of ham-handed, and everything they couldn't explain, they just said, "Up, God did it."
My thing with Battlestar Galactica, especially at the end, was just, well, they haven't been explaining anything for most of the series. Why would they start now?
No, I didn't
care. And I mean,
I didn't care about an explanation exactly. I just wanted a satisfactory... I wanted things to wrap up well for the characters, and I don't feel like it did that.
Well, no, it certainly didn't.
No, and I don't mean by that, I don't mean a happy ending, because that show was never about that.
No.
But I mean in a satisfying... Like I feel like their character arcs, for whatever, for good or ill, you know, closed at a good place, and I don't feel like that happened there. God, I don't know. I was gonna say Futurama, but that show won't end, so, which is a good
show,
thing.
I like that last episode of that show. I mean, but it wasn't a last episode. But
it's coming back, like it's back in another couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and you know, also there were those movies.
Yeah, but I mean, the actual series is airing again at the end of this month, so
that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Twin Peaks had a great finale. I know you haven't seen that yet.
I am looking forward to seeing that at some point.
That show started really strong. It kind of flailed in the middle, and it really came back strong at the end, and then it didn't come back. But it did a lot like The Prisoner did, where it just took all the weird and really...
Ooh.
Like, it was a huge climax of weird at the end, and There's no understanding it.
No.
But it's still just brilliant and beautiful.
That was a great last episode,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. They're very similar. They're nothing alike. But they're very similar on the surface in that they're both just weird shows that built to weird things, and the finale did not disappoint on that level.
No.
And then he asks what our least favorite finales are. Seinfeld was not great.
No, I'm not a fan of the Seinfeld finale. No. I hate shows that I don't know if this really counts or not, but I hate shows that end on a cliffhanger, like they expect to come back and then don't.
I wouldn't call that a series finale. It's not intended to be a series finale. I mean, yeah, I agree with you, but I don't.
Like they did that with News Radio, which I hated, and they did that with Duckman, which I really hated.
See, now I feel like any kind of half-hour comedy show, call it a sitcom, call it whatever you want, really has no place. It doesn't need a finale.
No, I mean,
that's one of the reasons I didn't like the Seinfeld one. It's like, yeah, they had running stories and they kind of broke some ground as far as recurring, you know, echoing their bits and stuff like that. But we didn't need a big ending. It was a show about nothing and you didn't need a plot. Like, it, you know, that's what Cuban did for me.
I don't mind with a half hour show giving like an ending. I think the thing with the Seinfeld one is that they got a little too up themselves. Would that need to bring everyone who had ever been on it back?
But that happens in a lot of your bad finales, where they decide that they want to go back and remind you of all the great stuff that they did, and it's like, so what?
Yeah.
I've watched the show. I know. Do something new. You're about to go away. Do one more new thing.
It felt like, well, we'll bring everyone back, and then we can do all these jokes again. Here's the virgin again, and here's the soup Nazi, and he's yelling at people. Yeah. You guys like that, right?
Well, but I also feel like that was working on another level where Larry David had been gone and he came back and he's like, fuck this show. And I'm pretty sure that was his fuck this show moment.
Ah, Larry David.
Yep. I did not hate the Sopranos finale. I know that's another one that's kind of controversial. Mm-hmm. But,
I could not hate anything with Journey.
It had nothing to do with that. It was it ended very ambiguously. It just kind of stopped. And that show was always very true to life. Like, there wasn't a lot of neat, like, narrative, you know, like, climax and, you know, denouement and all that. It was just, like, real life. Like, sometimes somebody would just die.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, like, that was the feeling of the show all along. And for it to just abruptly stop felt right to me. Like, it didn't bother me in the least.
I liked the last episode of Mystery Science Theater.
Yes, that was good.
I like
another one where I didn't feel like they had to have an ending, but they did a good job with that.
Well, they ended it the right way
twice, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, when it ended on Comedy Central, that was a good finale, and then
that was a good one too. Yeah,
and then again when they ended on Sci-Fi, that was quite good. I don't see. This is where I know more. Like, I watch more continuing TV shows than I watch movies or play video games or anything. Like, this is the medium I know more than anything else. So. That's why we're spending so much time on this.
Yes.
I feel like Kids in the Hall actually had a good finale.
I don't know that one.
I mean, obviously it was just a sketch show.
Right.
It had some recurring characters and stuff. But,
I mean, I know Kids in the Hall, but I don't. I never saw the last episode.
Spoiler alert. no, it ends with the character Bellini, the guy in the towel that walks by from time to time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Burying them alive. And then, I'm sorry. It's them being buried alive, and then Bellini comes and dances on their grave. That's what it is. He's not actually burying them alive, but the last shot is of them lying in the grave, with dirt being shoveled over them, and a headstone that says "Kids in the Hall," whatever years the show ran.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks over in his towel and dances and looks at the camera and says, "Thank God that's finally over." I mean, it's pretty on the nose and pretty by the books, but it's still, you know, still quite funny, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Ted actually mentions, for me, my favorite would be Justice League Unlimited with the episode Epilogue.
Ooh, fuck. That is a good one.
However, technically speaking, that was not the series finale. Epilogue was the one after they did their big sort of intertwined conspiracy season.
Mm-hmm.
They did that one final episode where it all tied to Batman Beyond and like everything. And that was a great episode. But then they did another season after that. So,
oh, yeah.
Technically not the finale. Technically, the finale was them fighting Brainiac and Darkseid, I think. Which was also good, but I love every bit of that show. So
yeah, I think it was awesome how it tied all the animated series shows together with that one
in a way that the comics have never managed to do for me. Like, you feel like there really is this big tapestry that they're all part of, and not like they're trying to shoehorn in. Oh, and this guy lives in the same city. Yeah, sure he does. He says, and his least favorite is Quantum Leap. To this day, that episode makes me cry like a baby, and any TV show that can do that in a soul-crushing way is just terrible. Now, see, I like a sad finale. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
I wasn't a Quantum Leap fan, so I couldn't say what the, you know.
Wasn't it,
I have no clue.
Spoilers for Quantum Leap fans.
I didn't watch the show at all, so I have no clue.
No, I believe it ended with him, like, he could have gone home, but then he decided he was going to keep leaping and helping people, which I think is a really cool way to end that show.
Sure. Yeah, I have no idea.
Except then he leaped into Star Trek Enterprise.
Well, and the less said about that, the better.
Yeah.
Tom adds, P.S. I know you have both stated a dislike for newspaper comic strips, but I think you might like retail. At least I find it enjoyable. Here's a link, and we'll provide that in the show notes.
Yeah.
The link is to something from the Seattle PI, which is, I believe, our newspaper that doesn't exist anymore. That's not a good sign.
So much for that.
But we'll put that in the show notes, and we'll check it out and let you know what we think.
I like newspaper comic strips. I
do not just, like any current newspaper comic strip.
That's the thing.
Yeah, no, we've talked about this extensively, like how classic Peanuts and like Calvin and Hobbes and Bloom County and yeah, there's a ton of good ones from back in the day, The Far Side, but yeah, not so much now.
It's like currently there are maybe two good comic strips, and neither of them run in either of our papers.
Yeah, and out of what, 30?
Yeah, and it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I have the internet now.
Right. Exactly. All right.
Actually, the only time I read comic strips now is on the Comic Curmudgeon site.
See, I read a lot of, like, well, not a lot, but I read webcomics, and they just pop up on my RSS feed, so I don't, you know. I don't really draw the distinction. I don't think of those as any different. I'm reading a daily comic strip or a weekly comic strip or whatever.
Let's see if I get Penny Arcade today. Nope. Yeah.
We've mentioned this too, that now I'm playing more games, maybe I'll get Penny Arcade more. I didn't get the last one though, so you know, not yet.
But oh, that was based on the that Mortal Kombat short that was making the rounds.
Ah, don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Next question comes from our old pals Chuck and Mal, and they write, "Dear Al and Matt, my friend the traveling wizard wanted to pass this question on. I'm sorry. Oh God, I'm so sorry. The ever penitent Chuck Metcalf." Oh, the penitent man kneels before God, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear what this traveling wizard has to say.
Hello, sarcastic voyagers. It's your friend, the traveling wizard, the wizard that travels. I, too, take voyages, although they tend not to be sarcastic. They tend to be very creepy. Speaking of which, I do have a question for Al and Matt this week. It could be for either of you. If I said you had a beautiful body, would you take off your clothes and dance like a pony for me? By the way, I love those flaunt questions. Keep them coming. Toodles.
How does one dance like a pony?
I'm not sure. Traveling wizard, I would like to extend an answer to you from someone who is associated with our program. In point of fact, I would like to refer your question to one M. Smlown of England, and he will now answer your question.
Dear traveling wizard, if you are a wizard or indeed travel, the last person who said toodles to me found themselves working their way through a porcine digestive system. But that's by the by. Please do not sully Algar and my Matthew again with your dribblings. This is a show for professionals. Look it up in the book, assuming you can read. So anyway, podcast Questadors, I was updating my mat collage with pictures from the wedding, making sure to change everyone else's face to mine, of course, and I thought, how can this be made even more awesome? The answer was obvious, so I put on my miniature tuxedo that I would have worn to the wedding and imagined Matt and I slow dancing to Push It. Is there a more iconic Salt and Pepper song? Yours, hot, cool, and viciously, M. Smlown. P.S. Sorry I've been away so long. I won't let you down again.
All right, so Malvern Smlown checking in. Matt, would you say how would you judge our performance there?
We win.
We win. Yes, very good.
Moving on.
Next question comes from Adam Witt. Haven't heard from him in a while. And he writes, "Dear Penthouse, for years and months and days, I've been a fan of this fine talking radio show. What does talk about them sarcasms and voyagers? But I have had but one lingering question in my head: boxers or briefs? Yours, unless the wagon gets dysentery, Adam." Haven't we addressed this one before?
I don't think we actually ever have addressed this.
Really?
Which is odd, considering how long we've been doing this for.
Yeah, and that's one of the standard, like, questions. That's one of the, you know, the key, well.
I actually wear jockey shorts.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what almost exclusively.
I don't actually know what that is.
Those are like, briefs, but, like, the legs are longer.
Boxer briefs.
Yes.
I wear those as well.
Oh, well, there we go.
We're wearing the same underwear.
Just when you thought we couldn't get any more.
Next question.
We just keep showing you different.
Next question comes, get your answer ready here. Comes from Pat McDonald.
All right.
No.
Who? Oh, excuse me. Who?
Yeah. Poodle douche.
Ah.
And he writes, "Dearest Mr. and Mrs. Algar." Of course, we're still doing that. Mm-hmm. Who would win in a fight between Galiza, Flonk, and Kim Jong-il if they were all blindfolded? Yours now and forever, Patrick. I don't know. Did we ever really determine what Galiza's power level was?
Because I don't think.
We talked extensively about him, but I don't know that we've really established if he's strong or weak or what.
I mean, I believe him to be larger than Flonk and Kim Jong-il, especially if it's the Kim Jong-il puppet.
Right, from Team America. I believe Galiza is an Olympic-level keg breather, but I don't really know if he's any good in a fight. I've never seen proof of that.
See, here the thing is that Kim Jong-il is like an Olympic level dictator, and true. Flonk is an Olympic level annoyance.
But so he's also really, an Olympic level BFF. We got to make that's true. That art relevant. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Kim Jong-il has like crazy armies of people who will do crap for him, and I don't think Galiza or Flonk have that.
Flonk
has a girlfriend now, but that's still just one person. So,
and he wields the power of bacon.
True, and he's got that beard. He's got a fine. I don't know. If he and I were
your Olympic level beard.
If he and I were to compete in an Olympic beard
in a beard off.
Yeah, I'm not sure who would win. Honestly, I think he may have the advantage there. It's hard to say. He has done more wacky styles. Like I've seen Civil War Flonk.
Yep.
Whereas I just grow the Riker beard or the evil Spock beard. It's basically based on two Star Trek characters. Mm-hmm. There's no in between for me. So, whereas he's done the Civil War thing, he's done the whole beardy spectrum.
See now, and then you have to realize Galiza, I don't think can grow a beard at all.
Yeah, but I don't think Kim Jong-il can either. Like, I think that's generally, isn't that sort of an Asian thing where quite a lot of, like, it's just a genetic thing in that part of the world where they don't grow great facial hair. Like, they tend to be lactose intolerant and they can't grow facial hair. And they're good at math, in case we wanted to. Because I was skirting away from the racism. And you know what? Fuck it.
Then you decided, fuck it, I'll embrace the racism.
We had Albert on last week. He gave us permission. I think Albert's of Chinese descent, but it's all the same, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry about that, everyone. me so sorry. But no, really, I don't think he can grow a beard. I don't think. I haven't seen a lot of Korean dudes sporting big, you know, burly beards. So he loses on that ground.
Yes. But, if this is a beard off, then Flonk's going to win.
But in every other competition.
If it's a dictatorship off, though, I think Kim Jong-il's got the chops to pull out of that one.
Yeah. And if it's a crazy off, it's a really tight race.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all pretty insane.
And then, of course, there's how well can Flonk vomit cake?
Well, is it vomit or breathe? We never really
determined
that.
Breathe cake, yeah. I should say. I know Kim Jong-il is quite good at it.
Yeah. Well, he's got guys to build him machines to do that. I mean, that's hardly a fair competition. Devices. Yeah. I mean, they've got bellows in them and, like, those, you know, those things that you blow air into the fireplace with, you know, that you squeeze.
A bellows.
Oh, I thought there was another name for that.
Oh. Maybe.
Very well. Another question from Pat. He writes, "To my favorite podcasting cum dumpsters." Very well.
Wow.
What do you do when you, well, at least we're his favorite. I mean, you could take that as an insult, true. But I mean, there
on
is
a list of cum dumpsters, we definitely come up at the top.
Well, podcasting cum dumpsters. I mean, there's, well, yes. You know, there's other ones that maybe.
On a list of all time cum dumpsters, we're probably not as high.
No, but that's, podcasters are never, they never show well in the cum dumpster race, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Your Olympic level cum dumpsters are in television. What do you do when you find yourself with nothing to do at work and an hour and a half to kill, besides writing questions to internet superstars, of course? I don't know what a cum dumpster is, but it sounds pretty awesome. Well, I think we've determined that now. What do I do when I have nothing at work?
Isn't that what we have Twitter for?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we have Twitter for.
Yeah.
Now, well, now I'll tell Twitter exactly what it does to do with a lifetime supply. next question comes from El Cinco, our friend Laura from the Girls with Glasses show, and she writes, "Dear podcasting brethren, let's say you had a day job working in an office with a lot of files. Let's say some of those files are decades old. Now, you're filing these decade-old files in their nice little filing cabinet homes so they can be with all their little friends, and one of them gives you a paper cut. What sort of retaliation would be proper in such a case? Yours in Ludditeness, Laura. P.S. Do either of you know how to tie a tourniquet?" I do not.
No. I was in Boy Scouts, but we're not taught that.
Do you guys have Boy Scouts, or you call it something else?
Cub Scouts.
Ah, well, I mean, that's what we call it as well. I didn't know if it was just the Boy Scouts of America, the Boy Scouts of Canada, or if you called it something
different.
You go
from your youngest Boy Scouts are called Beavers. Yeah.
We don't have that here.
And then we go to Cubs, and then just Scouts.
Ah, very well. We have, I think, the Weeblos, which just like, what?
Is that even a word?
Yes, they wobble and they don't fall down. Well, Laura, I think, is trying to bait me into my whole anti-paper rant, which I don't really feel like doing now. So paper cuts are nasty business.
Yeah. Laura, this is what paper shredders are for.
Or flamethrowers.
Mm-hmm.
Paper
that also
is
works.
Susceptible to fire.
Here's the awesome thing. Most people can just tear paper apart in their bare hands.
Yeah.
I recommend trying that.
Or, you know, in a pinch, scissors beat paper.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that.
That's science.
Yeah.
Just watch out for rocks.
Right. And snakes. next question comes from Latep. And he writes,
"Ghost Pirate Latep.
Dear Al, Matt, and possibly Amanda, while in the U.S., do you intend to perform espionage? Your friend Pete." This was actually a question that appeared on Amanda's never-ending paperwork to obtain a visa to stay in the United States. I was making her some copies at work there, and they actually, not only did they ask that, but they asked the classic old, "Are you now or ever have been a communist?"
I love that's still on there.
Still on there. And I don't remember exactly what the wording was, but it was like, you know, what is your purpose while you're in the United States? And one of the things was espionage. It was basically asking if you intend to spy while you're here. Like,
that's so – I love that they're hoping you'll slip up.
Yeah, who would say
like,
yes?
You're coming into the country to spy, but it's just like, well, I am intending to perform espionage, so check –
But I can't be dishonest.
Son of a bitch. They got me.
But no,
I'm just staring at the form, sweating.
What do I do? They never trained me for this. next question comes from Dirk Walker, contest winner Dirk
Private
Walker.
Eye.
And he writes, "Squeeze-its or Mondos?"
What?
I don't know. Squeeze-its or Mondos? That's the question. Squeezes with a Z, SQUEZ-its or Mondos. I don't know.
Sounds like a tax from Dr. Krabs.
Good thing I brought my bad pubic hair comb with me, old chum. let's ask our old friend Cleverbot. That's what we've sworn to do in a tight spot like this.
Last time Cleverbot let us down because
every time Cleverbot has let us down, but maybe this will be the time. Squeeze-its or Mondos? I will quickly think about it.
I am now telling the computer.
Squeeze your what? Question mark. It's a question from Dirk Walker.
Yeah, I got squeeze your what too.
Yeah. Don't you think you are a bit insensitive? Yeah, shut up, Cleverbot. Sorry, Dirk. We don't know, and neither does the smartest computer on the internet. So
no.
We're lost. But we're going to have to pick one. I'm going to go with Squeeze-Its.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Mondo's just to be contrary.
Of course you are. Next question comes from Duh, and he writes, "What is your favorite star/spaceship? Yours truly, Space Cadet Duh." Oh, God. We're near the end of the show, and we're going to talk about this for an hour now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
I really should look at these ahead of time and plan accordingly, because we spend a lot of time talking about less significant things. This is we could spend an entire show on this.
Oh, God. I mean, like most of the Star Wars ships look amazing.
Yeah, but
I'm a big Star Destroyer supporter.
See, but apart from the Millennium Falcon and Star Destroyers, you really didn't get to like you know, really well to know a Star Wars ship. Like
you, yeah, your X Wing
and the X Wing. That's
your TIE Fighters.
Yeah, but it's not like the Enterprise. It's not like, apart from, like, really the Millennium Falcon is the only ship that had that feel like the Enterprise. Like, this is a home. This is where, mm-hmm. this is a cool place to be. This is a, you know, like, they're all great ships, but mm-hmm. the Enterprise had that sort of family feeling, that sort of home, you know.
Let's see.
I'm going to go with Enterprise D. I mean, it's a boring answer, but it's, you know.
Not A, not B.
Nobody not... A, B, C, or D. yeah.
I like the Serenity a lot.
I mean, I enjoyed that show a great deal, but, you know, the ship.
No, that ship is, like, was pretty fully sort of laid out.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Like, at the beginning of the movie, they just walk you through the entire thing, and I really liked that.
Yeah. And that's another one that feels kind of like a home. I mean, mm-hmm. that was sort of the point. I guess what I'm talking about is, like, the ship feels like a character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you really feel like they're an essential part of the cast and you can't tell the story without the ship.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I get from the Enterprise. It's definitely in the Serenity as well. Red Dwarf.
Mm-hmm. I just love how friggin' big Red Dwarf is.
Yeah. Well, sometimes.
Except when it's not.
That show is so wildly inconsistent. And, you know, a comedy show, who cares? But
yeah. Hey, remember that time that their shuttle became like the size of a small city?
Yeah, and then it didn't.
And then it wasn't, and then it was again, because the plot required it.
And then Lister had a baby, but then they ignored that.
Mm.
That show's allegedly coming back again.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, me too. And even then, I probably won't. There's actually a really cool thing at the Sci-Fi Museum here in Seattle, where they have... did you go there? I can't remember.
Yes, yes, I did.
You did a bunch of touristy stuff here.
Yeah.
They have that great sort of 3D-ish giant screen that shows all the different ships and how they compare to each other.
Mm.
They had, like, a Star Destroyer go by, and then they had, like, the Enterprise go by, and you could see the scale.
Mm.
It was pretty good CG, and it was quite nice, like, to see how big they are compared to each other.
Mm. Oh, the Galactica. I love the Galactica.
I did not.
That's fine.
I liked it, but I'm just saying it was everything that happened to all those people was so awful. And that's not even a reflection of my opinion of the show. I'm just saying, like, there's not a lot of good memories in the Galactica. A lot of people dying, a lot of people getting tortured, a lot of, you know, it's a very dark show. It's not a fun place.
Lots of readily available airlocks.
Right. Not a fun place to be. Like, I'm thinking of some place I'd like to live personally, I guess is how I'm interpreting this. And the Galactica is just a lot of bad memories there. Whereas the Enterprise D, they went through some problems, but for the most part, it was, you know, it's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Plus holodecks.
Well, yes.
And Dahl writes, P.S. Now that old Spock is in the new past with the knowledge of old events to come and new Spock is one of the last of his race, would Darth Vader be any threat to the Borg? I love that kind of question.
I think it depends on whether or not the Force has any effect on the Borg.
The Forg?
The Force. The Forg?
I don't know. I'm tampering in Matt's domain.
I mean, theoretically, we know that, like, physical weapons work on the Borg, so then it's a question of whether or not a lightsaber counts as a sword or a laser.
Wait, are you really answering this question?
Yes!
You nerd.
Oh, come on, like, you haven't thought about it.
No, I really haven't.
Liar.
Not this specific one. I've thought about plenty of questions like this. I'm not trying to paint myself as being less nerdy than you, but not this specific question, no. I don't know.
I know that I would love to see it.
Star Wars was a long time ago. Like, they wouldn't meet those guys. That's just not, you know, not how it goes.
Yes, but if they did.
Well, all right. You know, there was almost...
The Borg can go back in time. They've done it before.
Yeah. Mm. They were quite close to doing a Star Trek Doctor Who, like an actual crossover a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah, but let me finish.
Oh, well.
It would have been with Enterprise.
Oh.
Because the producers of the new Doctor Who were like, we've always wanted to do something with Star Trek. Let's talk to those guys. What are they doing now? And the only show on at the time was Enterprise.
And they were like, oh.
They kind of had to take what they could get. No, I think they were in early talks and then Enterprise got canceled and it never happened. But, you know, even...
probably for the best.
Yeah. But the possibility is still pretty cool, I think. Next question comes again from Dirk Walker. And he writes, Dear Al, Matt, and Guest... Remember Coke 2, what was up with that?
I actually don't remember Coke 2.
This is one of those weird, sort of convoluted, limited market things. There was New Coke, which I'm sure if you didn't have, at least you've heard about.
I am aware of, yes. Yeah. I know. I don't think I ever had it.
They basically changed the formula of Coke to taste more like Pepsi. They realized it was a disaster and changed back.
Mm-hmm.
There are some conspiracy theorists, soda conspiracy theorists, who claim that Coke did this on purpose as a marketing ploy because their sales were sagging. There are also people who believe that that's when they changed over to high fructose corn syrup. So people thought they were going back to the old stuff, but they really weren't. This is the whole thing.
And of course, there are those that believe that Coke killed JFK.
Well, it did. No, Pepsi killed JFK.
Using technology taken from Area 51.
Right. Which is also what made Crystal Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing. And the phone company. I had this whole theory back in the day. And Elvis actually was involved.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that another time. Or probably never, because it wasn't very good. But Coke 2 was... Coke, I guess, realized that... okay, New Coke was a disaster, but we still have all this New Coke in these vats. Let's call it something different and sell it again. And so, like, 5-10 years later, they sold Coke 2, which was New Coke, but under a different name.
They just called it Coke 2.
Right. And even back then, the Electric Boogaloo joke was already...
Oh, God, I'm so glad you said it. I was trying so hard not to.
Trying hard to cone.
I tried so hard to cone.
Yeah, even back then, it was already a tired joke, so, you know, nobody wanted to drink Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Now, Dripping Yellow Madness.
Well, that moved away in the fourth grade, unfortunately. Yeah, but Coke 2, I just, it was so sad. Such a sad. I miss Coke Black, which was half
the
Coke.
Coffee stuff.
Yes, half Coke, half coffee, which is one of those things that's utterly revolting, and then you keep drinking it, and it's starts to be good.
You vibrate through a wall.
Yeah. No, actually, Jolt made that before Coke did. They called it Jolt Espresso, which was exactly the same thing. It was coffee and cola mixed. And at the time, I could only get that stuff online, and so I had to buy a case of it. I was kind of taking a big chance, like buying 24 of them. Well, if it sucks, then oh well. And the first one I tried was like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. And I just kept drinking them anyway. And by the 24th can, it was delicious. And then it went away. So,
unfortunately, by then you were thoroughly addicted.
Of course.
And then night terrors came.
And then the Speed Force took me away. Next question comes from Scott White. And he writes, Dear Algar and Matt, right to the chase, who would win in a fight, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or Kanye West King Kong mix?
Hmm. See, here's the thing. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man likes fish sticks.
Is he a gay fish?
I think he's willing to admit that he is.
Well, but maybe the part that, of Kanye West that's mixed with King Kong is the part that has a sense of humor. And if he has King Kong's sense of humor, then he could embrace the fish stick thing.
Did King Kong have a sense of humor?
I don't know.
Which King Kong are we talking about here?
I mean, climbing up to the top of the Empire State Building is pretty ironic.
Mm.
I mean, really? That old gag? But, you know, like that.
Oh, I get it. The real monster was man.
So obviously he's got a sense of humor. But the other thing is, if you want to get really deep nerd about this, is the actual Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, the mascot of the Stay Puft Marshmallows is not inherently that dangerous.
No.
It's only when Gozer takes the form of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man that is really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, he appeared a couple of times on the animated series without the influence of Gozer, and he was a fairly affable guy.
Yeah, just a big, puffy, smiling guy. So
how's it going?
Yeah. Gorsh.
Gorsh.
Uh-oh.
Hey!
We're going to get sued, boy. Oh, Christ. I'm going to say the King Kanye.
I gotta go with the home team and take Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Very well.
It would be wrong for me not to.
All right. And finally, we have, going back to his old ways, we have 6 questions from Flonk.
Oh, good.
And as per our new policy, we will answer these lightning round style.
Lightning round.
So let's begin.
All right.
Dear Alan Matt, what is the furthest distance you have traveled by foot? Flonk the Wanderer.
I don't know. I walk a lot.
I do not. I can't stand walking. But my car broke down once on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I walked probably 20 miles. That sucked.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably more than I have walked on average.
As a result, I don't walk anymore, ever. Like if I have to go more than 3 feet, I get skates or something. Next question to the professional podcasteteers. Mm. It has recently come to my attention that some people don't like bacon. What's wrong with these people? Flonk the Bacon King. I think we're being baited into an anti-Laura thing that we're not going to get into.
Mm-hmm. Although bacon is delicious.
It sure is. But, you know, people are free to like or don't like whatever they want. I don't like cake, and Laura does, and so what? Next question, dear Algar and Matthew. What's the haps?
Don't call me Matthew.
I just had a quick question for you regarding parking lot etiquette. Etiquette with a D. I'm sure you've been in a busy parking lot at some point in your life, like the mall, for example, and have had someone in their car follow you as you walk to your car. I'll follow you to your cars! Should you, upon arriving at your vehicle, vacate the spot immediately, or is the space yours until such a time as you decide to leave? Flonk, who stopped driving over a year ago, mostly so he doesn't have to deal with this sort of social anxiety. You know what? It's my spot.
Yep.
I take it until I'm done with it. Like, fuck you. You can wait.
Yep. I can't drive, so it's not a problem, really.
Yeah, but if you put yourself hypothetically in this situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, you know, I'll fucking wait in the car.
Deliberately, just to spite
them,
whether you're in a hurry or not. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Al and Matt, what's a good digital camera to buy? What's a good one to rent? I don't know, man.
Try Rent a Camera. They're a much better website than we are for figuring this kind of thing out.
Talk to Bob. He knows all this crap. Bob's like my tech support like guy. Like if I need to know something, I ask him because I don't know this crap.
No.
Next one. What was the best year ever?
Get a Polaroid.
Yes. And put it in a safe.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. What was the best year ever? What was the best day ever? Best hour? 1987, May 29th, 2010, and 6 hours ago.
Wow, that's weird. That's my answer, too.
Wow, that's very strange.
Yeah. What are the odds?
One. The odds are one. And finally, hey there, Alan Matt. What's the deal with flavored vodka? Well, it's vodka that tastes like stuff.
Yeah. See, the nice thing about vodka is it doesn't taste like anything, so you can just drink it.
Right.
So they just added stuff to it so that you can just drink it and taste lemon.
I do think that is a little strange, the whole flavored rum, flavored vodka. Like, isn't that the point of a mixed drink anyway?
Well, I mean, the thing is...
Why don't you just give me the normal vodka and I'll put something in it?
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't even want to do that. They just, here, give me this so I can drink it and be drunk.
Right.
I don't get it, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm not a get drunk kind of guy, but...
Get her drunk.
He should die in a fire.
Oh, he should die in two fires.
Yes. Two.
That his loved ones could have prevented.
Oh, Flonk, you are our BFF. I really got to just keep selling that home to make sense of the cover art. He's not our BFF at all. And one final question, not from Flonk. This comes from Tidro.
All right.
And it's an audio question. And she writes,
Dear Al, Matt, and any of their invisible friends, no question today. I just wanted to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you. Signed, Tidro. P.S. More Nick and Willikins, please.
Well, Tidro, that brings us to our long-distance dedication. As it happens...
This one goes out to a little dog named Snuckles.
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 We do have more Nick and Willikins for you, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's ready for you right now. Let's roll that. But first, do we have anything else? Do we have any like final business? Any
new business? Any old business?
Show business? Anything? I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to ask other people.
No.
Personally, you.
No, I think we're done here.
We're wrapping things up. We're moving on to the Nick and Willikins part. Which will go on until we're sick of it. Maybe 50, maybe 3. We don't know yet. But
it'll happen until it stops and we do something else.
Right.
Or until we become incredibly famous because of it.
We are going to be the Nick and Willikins guys. That is my prediction.
Yep.
No one's going to remember Al and Matt. No one's going to remember Sarcastic Voyage, but they will remember the Nick and Willikins guys.
Oh, the Nick and Willikins guys. Yeah, they were great for a while.
Yeah. Well, they sucked for about 65 episodes, and then they finally started doing Nick and Willikins.
Then they stumbled upon what all great creative people find. Silly accents.
Right. They basically did their webcomic in radio play form. Oh, Christ. All right, well, that's about it for us. Let us know how your butts are, and we're going to stop talking now.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
In our last episode, our hero Nick was informed of his inheritance of a large sum of monies, and also a man in a box.
So what's all this?
It appears, that you are the last surviving member of the once legendary Nick dynasty.
That's right. Wait, what?
Yes, and as such you receive all rights, privileges, and other such sundry items as bequeathed by your great-uncle, including me, Reginald W. Willikins III, your manservant.
Well, I own you.
Well, technically, I'm an employee, but...
Ooh, delight! Oh, I own a human being. Do you do any tricks?
Do I... I do beg your pardon, sir.
Like, what do you do, exactly?
I cook, I clean, general butlery things. I cooked a sumptuous banquet for the crown heads of Europe.
Can you sing?
Pardon?
Can you sing? I want a person what sings.
I hardly think.
Look, Willikins, I own you and I want you to sing.
Do-do-da-do-da-do, sir.
Well, that's a start, I guess.
But the start of what? When will we get to those thrilling adventures I was talking about last time? Tune in next week when you'll hear Willikins say... The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, at RobotMatt and at Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.